No, not 18, slide 20. Let me go straight to subject performance. In fact, let me go straight to district performance. That is slide number 23. We only have two districts that have had a negative growth. All of our districts had a positive growth in terms of the pass rate of the province. Some of them was phenomenal growth. If you look at a district like Alfred or Coastal, that was a 14% growth compared to the previous year in terms of the pass rate. Only two districts that were below 60% is Amatole East and Amatole West. So that covers your Butterworth up to Fort Beaufort area. So those are the two districts that were below 60%. If you look at classification in terms of the districts, and we've given on slide 25 or page 25 the districts and the number of bachelors in each one of those, and if you notice, you know, districts that have done very well in terms of numbers are Nelson Mandela Bay, which has almost given us 2,244 bachelors, Buffalo City, 2,139 bachelors. But just to compare these districts, so those two districts were almost performing at a national level in terms of percentage of bachelors to the number of learners that sat the metric exam of 2017. The number of centers per interval chair that has improved was also a promising one. That is slide 26. If you look at the Eastern Cape, the number of centers that had a 10% and below pass rate has steadily been decreasing. In 2015, there were 10 of those, and in 2016, there were 8, and they remained 8 in 2018, which means schools that perform at 10% and below. And then between 10 and 20% pass, there's been almost a notable increase from 32 to 20 in 2018. Where it's almost encouraging, Chair, are the pass rates between 80% and 90%. That is on slide 26, page 26. Wherein we are looking at the number of centers. The number of centers have grown from 68 to 125, which shows a phenomenal growth in terms of the number of centers. So I won't go to the rest of them. Just to say that the number of centers failing are decreasing, whilst the number of passes of centers passing are increasing. We then looked at the performance by quintile, that is on slide 27. And Chair, if you look at our quintile 1, quintile 2, quintile 3 improvement, I think it's comparable with the national trend that you've seen Gauteng and other provinces. And if you look at the case of the Eastern Cape, in 2016, 49% of kids in quintile 1 passed, whereas in 2017, that has improved to 59%. So these are your township schools, and these are your poverty-ridden schools. But where there were so impressive improvements is in quintile 2. In 2016, it was 55% pass in that quintile, but in 2017, 61.4%, which shows a phenomenal growth and a phenomenal improvement. And then if you look at quintile 4 and 5, which is where your wealthy classes are, it's almost also a slight decline in those two. In quintile 4, from 82% to 80%, in quintile 5 from 95% to 94%, but where there is growth is quintile 1 to 3. There's such an interesting growth if you look at those trends. Chair, there are only two centers that registered 0% pass, and we've hence closed them down, so they are no longer operating. We discovered that it's low enrollment figures, and they are not sustainable. We then just closed them down. Integrated whatever that was left in others. It's Pongole to Senior Secondary School in Amatole East, mm-hmm. and it's Vivale Senior Secondary School at Chris Hani West. Chair, on subjects, I won't go long, Chair, just to look at where we have had a decline. Chair, the character is that Eastern Cape has declined in subjects where there are low enrollments. But in subjects where there are big enrollments, we have improved, except for two subjects, which is business studies and accounting. Those are the main two ones that declined. But if you look at numbers, very interesting trends. In accounting, we've been trying to arrest the decline in the number of kids, but we still have 13,000. in accounting. Their pass rate was not significantly different between 16 and 17, 61.8 and 61.7, and they declined by 0.17. Where the main worry was that Afrikaans, second additional language. The numbers are not big, but it did not do well, also 1% decline. Business studies, that's where our main worry was. It's a big number subject, 23,000 kids, and only 14,000 that passed, which was a decline from 64% to 59% looking at the past year. I won't touch all of them, Chair, but I just want to draw your attention to mathematics and mathematical literacy. Chair, there's been an improvement in both maths and maths lit, but strangely enough, the number of kids in 2017 that took maths exceeded the number of kids that took mathematical literacy in the Eastern Cape. This is in the context of the steady improvement in the results, you know, of the Eastern Cape. So we are encouraging the trend in the growth in the number of kids that take maths compared to the number of kids that take maths lit. But our main challenge now is to improve the number of kids that pass, you know, across. Languages doing very well across. None of our home languages are doing less than 95%, which is a huge improvement and a huge promise in terms of the pass rate. But where we're mainly concerned is English, first additional language, which is done by the majority of kids, especially kids in the township schools. But if you look at the results, it's not a huge difference in terms of performance. Distinctions, I won't go into that detail, Chair, just to say that we have seen an improvement in the number of kids that obtain distinctions in the province. And we have also attached graphs that shows this growth, especially percentage growth in the overall distinctions. From 2008, almost 2.7% of our kids that sat in the system, they are holding distinctions. That's how far we have improved as a province. So, Chair, that's the summary around the results. It's a story of improvement, and it's a story of consistent and persistent improvement. Just to say, Chair, we are benchmarking against two provinces. For your ease, we are benchmarking against Gauteng on monitoring. They have a very good monitoring system. We are also benchmarking against Free State on digital development and digital support. We've now gone to benchmark against Mpumalanga on concentrated study areas like creation of boarding schools, you know, science centers. So there are these three provinces that we are benchmarking with. Just to say, let's learn from what is working from other provinces. So as Eastern Cape, Chair, asoyiki uyocela uncedo. So siyaphuma sithi khani sincedisene. So those three provinces who have been consistent. I know Northern Cape has been helping us a lot in terms of governance, school governance, and a whole range of others. But can I say, Chair, in 2018, our plan is based on two pillars, as you said. We are focusing on the foundation phase and grade 12. So we are focusing on both of them. We picked up that our kids in grade 1 and 2, the repetition rate is too high in the system. We need to do something about it. But also on the metric improvement. In metric, we have two phases. There's what we call an early support phase, which is the first 100 days of kids in the metric class. And now we're busy with winter schools. And then we have the second phase of what we call the last push. In the last push, we look at the last 100 days before they write what support do they need from us. We have monitoring systems that we've put in place, SASAMs, but on top of SASAMs, we have what we call Triple D, which is a dashboard of results analysis, which comes up on the screens of everyone in the department, including school principals. That's a Chair. On LTSM, I'll summarize. Chair, we are not participating in the national process, but all quintile 4 and 5 schools are given their money to buy their books. Quintile 1, 2, 3 schools that are not doing well in terms of financial management, we centralize procurement. We then ask if there's any other school that wants to participate in the central procurement. And the reason we do central procurement in those quintiles is that it's better for money in terms of big purchases as well as discounts. If you note the number of schools that we have in the Eastern Cape, we have too many small schools. They cannot afford to buy books for their learners. So we're using our budgets, which should normally go to your big schools, to subsidize the small schools. So when we buy centrally, we are able to buy for all kids using the same number of schools, but using everybody's budget. So as you go out, you will find that there's always a request, but EP change, where's the change? So we suppose in terms of paper budget, I had 200,000, but I only bought stock of 100,000. There's also a school that has a paper budget of 10,000 rands, but they need books of 50,000 rands. So we're robbing Paul to pay Peter. So that's how we deal with it. So we buy central. But that happens to schools that have agreed to participate in our central procurement. Otherwise, they cannot afford to buy on their own. We are ready for 2019 check in terms of procurement. All stocks and everything, they've been ordered. So they will start delivering in July, August. So we started with stationery. By November, that's our target date, all our stocks must be in schools. Chair, on school nutrition, just to say, Chair, the issue of infrastructure in the Eastern Cape still remains a challenge because it's also linked to the state of infrastructure. But the feeding process itself, I should think we are one of those provinces for the past 3 or 4 years that have never had a problem of children that have not eaten. We have a different model, Chair. We started the other way around. We started with cooperatives, and they failed dismally. Kids were not being fed. So cabinet took a decision that, look, the best way, let's decentralize the money to schools. So it's the schools that feed their own children. We monitor and we get reports. So in this instance, we're using a national framework for allocation, the amount for feeding, the amount for goods and services, the amount for COE, I mean for capital, as well as the amount for COE. Chair, just to say that in the split of our expenditure, we almost did very well 2017-2018 financial year. Our expenditure was at 99.1%. That is for the school nutrition. And we did transfers timely, especially to compliant schools that were gazetted. We have focused on food handlers and meal handling as part of our hygiene training program. That is on slide 46. And then we have resourced 46 of our schools with mobile kitchen units. 236 of them, we had to put in water tanks for water harvesting. You will find that in some of the schools there is no source of water at all. And then we planted 1,931 gas stoves in our schools just to make sure that they can function. Chair, the last part that becomes an issue for discussion is that there is a move to involve small-scale farmers in the nutrition program. And what we found is that most of them do not meet the criteria, ability to feed everyday quality food. So there's a lot of capacity development that must take place. So we went to the Department of Agriculture, which we call Dr. Dar in the provincial context, to ask them to look at capacity issues. Otherwise, we cannot just take willy-nilly a decision that says, give an opportunity to them when they cannot deliver. There are certain standards, Chair, that we are trying to manage. If I were to go to the last slide in terms of standards that we are managing, it's conditions for food preparation areas. We have drawn up sketches, especially the frameworks for what should be the size and the scale of the kitchens. And then food storage facilities, we have agreed on standard operating procedures for food storage, and then also standard operating procedures for food handling. So we've done all of that. So we're now busy with the implementation of these standards that we've agreed upon on nutrition. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We welcome your presentation. It was quite comprehensive, but because you are pressed for time, we are going to accept that you have got transport challenges. Honourable members, it is time to engage their input. Honourable Mamburu.
Now, Chairperson, I don't have a question. In fact, it has been tactical. When they say already are engaging Mpumalanga, Gauteng on benchmarking purposes, we do appreciate that. We hope it gives you courage, and then next year we'll be talking something different. Thank you very much for the effort that you have taken.
I'm part of the Eastern Cape Chair. When Honorable Makhupula was once in a committee meeting, select committee meeting, indlela abasinika ipicture ngayo is the zawuthina ifana twatswe nale sifumana ku Mr. Jwakati. I think Eastern Cape, after intervention eyenziwe by the National Department, there is a progress, or there is an improvement. Because the we management, your top management, Lando Chichem, who's the office of the MEC, the DG, Utata from here, Utara Power District, senior managers, one of the senior managers of the Pomagaga, also Ulanda, Mr. Jwakati and Mpumalanga. When they work on a no-go, which is not as Balegeli Ezosito, because we go Eastern Cape, we have another, and also the MEC, in the hands on Gayo, also a legislator to assist the department. If you join the metric results, Zabo, as compared to the previous year, on the ground there is movement. Your subject advisors always, last week, this week, this month, so that the monitoring is so local. Now I'm going to check this up because ngumuntu osondeleyo kubo bandaloyika ihlazo. So ndizama ukuthi sihlalo andithi because ndisuka e-Eastern Cape, kodwa ndiyayibona into okuba bendikade ndilila uba ukhumbula kakuhle, because i-Eastern Cape yosoloko usithiwa ingunumber last. But when it comes le nto kanumber last, ujonga ntoni xa uthetha ngonumber last? The quality of i-results. I think the improvement is about the quality, not the quality. 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 districts and which is from 23 to 12 districts now. Yes, I will be monitoring that and look about the district offices as names, but Unga was who's monitoring. That is the picture Nagalam any assessor, but I eat Lord Thomas by egg because it's full about them number one. But I think on number last, the way they are performing, I think in monitoring, is a full into a solo best on the yellow, and it's not a solo spend enough for them able. Just to buy encourage when they do a power. It's just a comment, I don't have questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you for the input, honorable members. We do want to say that maybe what Honorable Samka is saying in terms of trying to get people that are going to lift the state of education in the Eastern Cape go to those high offices has to a certain extent assisted. Utemba Bojana is there from national office. You are also there, and other officials. We have been having difficulty in spending, but now the rate of expenditure is improving. You are at the top province insofar as the rolling out of infrastructure, I think, I stand to be corrected, is concerned, meaning you are now able to use the amount allocated for that purpose. You are improving also on metric results. You are not yet there because we expect you to be in the region of 80 and above. That is what we accept. When I was still a student, our teachers used to say, aim to the stars so that at least you can fall on the treetops. Because if you aim on the treetops, you're going to fall on the floor. So you mustn't be afraid as to say, you know what, projecting that you are going to get 80%, okay. You might get 70-something, which is quite okay. So we do want to encourage you, isn't it? Usam Kanjama Beshonje, he used to be very offended, almost crying, when I'm sure representing provinces. Once something is said about KZN, then I get, you know, sensitized. What is happening now, KZN? And I'm representing that province. When I speak in the council, I speak on their behalf. When she speaks on your behalf. I'm happy that you are very close, the honorable member, to the process is saying. Because as she's saying, it's not that all is bad. You are still trailing at the bottom insofar as metric results is concerned. But the systems in general are beginning to change. We can observe that. At some stage, we complained to the ministers to say, hey, Eastern Cape, minister, what are you going to do? I mean, referring to Minister Ed. The Eastern Cape is, we really are concerned. He said, no, the issue is with you as provinces. That is a province. If you feel that they must be put under administration, so be it. Initiate the process. You know? So we navigated processes such that at least now you are beginning to get lifted up. And please sustain. Don't be afraid. But I want you to be honest, honorable member. As you say, when we went there, we were a bit concerned. Usamka would know, honorable Samka, the level of oversight. Oversight on the department is very, very important. If you don't conduct effective vociferous oversight and you sit on them and you support them and you guide, then they find it difficult to perform and to address the issues, because the portfolio committee is not really trailing behind them to ensure that they get the support that they need. So please, your oversight is very, very important. I do want to say, and I'm happy that you actually did manage to come on behalf of the committee. Because we were concerned when we were there, the committee was somewhere else, and somewhere else, and we couldn't just come together and talk about this critical issue. The improvement on bachelors is what, because what quality? What kind of a learner do we produce? At the end of the day. La Leage province, Yama legends. This is the year of the celebration of Nelson Mandela and Mama Albertina Sisulu. Couldn't we roll our sleeves in their honor and in honor of the legacy that they left? That we outperform ourselves. So those are the words of encouragement, as to say, you go and ensure that the subject advisors are assisting with the revision processes, question papers being worked on, weekend classes going on, winter classes going on. We shall reach them. We definitely shall reach them. We can point many ministers here in Parliament that went through the education of this engagement. They are leading. Their departments are actually leading. We actually conduct oversight on some of these departments ourselves. We are responsible for 9 departments, so we've got a picture of what is actually happening. So we've put all our trust in you, and we are encouraging you, as you say, this 65% at the end of the year will not be less than 75%, I tell you. Number 61. How bad is the number? Even if you can get it back. With an improvement, you might as well do the head. We are looking for 75% plus coming at the end of the year. Those are just words of encouragement, as to say, let us meet in Johannesburg during the matric results announcement, where we can see Eastern Cape is drastically improved. Thank you very much. You can then be released, raise off to the airport. Then let us take other issues, such as the Lalitaro.
I think
that's
all of
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. And we have planned that we're going to do our presentation by calling the managers who are responsible in this specific field. For metric results, we'll ask Ms. Tina Singh to do a presentation within the time allocated. And we have been joined by Mr. Archie Lewis, who's our DDG, Education Planning. He will do presentation on LTSM, and the project manager, Ms. Sopotela, will do presentation on National School Nutrition Program. Just to emphasize, Honorable Chairperson, that in the Western Cape Education Department, we're focusing on quality education for every learner, in every classroom, in every school in the province. So we do this by focusing on three strategic goals. Our first strategic goal is an improvement in the level of languages and mathematics in all schools. Our second strategic goal is an increase in the number and quality of passes in the National Senior Certificate. And the third one is an increase in the quality of education provision in poorer communities. So the presentations that you're going to receive today will show that we have an endless efforts to ensure that we achieve these goals. So we'll allow Ms. Tina Singh to do the presentation.
Good afternoon. Tina Singh. T-I-N-A. Thank you, Chair. Honorable members and colleagues from Provincial Education Department, the matric results of 2017. In terms of the slides, I have 20 slides in total, but I'll keep it very short and sweet. In terms of the summary of achievements on the first slide, the Western Cape Education Department had a pass rate of 82.8%, a slight decline from the previous year, 2016, and I will show you that in the slides to follow. In 2016, we had a pass rate of 86%. However, you need to consider that there were more learners in 2017 that wrote the NSC exam, 2,000 more learners. The Western Cape achieved the highest bachelor's degree access in comparison with other provinces, with 39.1% achieving the bachelor's degree. The province also had the highest mathematics pass rate of 73.9%. Seven of the eight districts achieved over 80%, with District East performing at 77.7%. And the reason for this can be attributed to the high number of schools, that's 69 schools in the East District, and that covers your areas that suffer from socioeconomic and poverty-stricken areas as well. You would also notice that in terms of District East, the challenge lies with the attendance by school learners, and that accounts for, in some cases, the low performance of the schools in that district. The pass rate of special schools went up from 2016 to 2017. 93.6 to 95.1%. In terms of the 10 special schools in the Western Cape, we aim to support the learners in terms of technology. Learner and teacher support material have been improved, and in terms of technology, many of the tests and examinations are being taken care of in terms of computer programs and computer-aided software as well. 16.8% of the schools in the Western Cape achieved a 100% pass rate, while more than 40% of schools achieved a pass rate of 90% and above. And in a slide later on, I will show you the distribution as well. The highest retention rate of 64.34% across all provinces from grades 10 to 12 in the period 2015 to 2017. The retention rate is something that one needs to be concerned about over the long period of time. However, I must make mention that the policy on the progression in the FET ban will maybe take care of the retention rate, because these are learners who would normally fall out, but now they've been given the opportunity to progress, they can perhaps be encouraged to remain in the system given enough support through the FET through grades 10 to 12. And obviously, if they qualify and meet the requirements, pass at the end of grade 12. In terms of the quality of the NSC results, in this slide, we show you the dropout rate of learners between grades 10 and 12, and the figures talk for themselves. There is concern about the high dropout rate, but in comparison with the nation as such, I think we're doing quite well, although there is a lot that one can do in terms of retaining more learners in the system, especially between grades 10 and 12. The magnitude, the size of the exam, colleagues, I cannot talk in comparison with the rural provinces that presented before me, because in terms of the Western Cape numbers, our numbers are quite low than KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo and Eastern Cape. And therefore, our exam is more manageable in terms of the size of the exam. The number of exam centers sit around 450. Although they may increase one or two, but not more than that, so it's quite manageable. We do involve outside invigilators to lend some credibility to the conduct of the exam in the classroom. In terms of the monitoring, as per DBE and Umalusi regulations as well, we try to involve both district officials and ed office officials. And we talk to the size of the exam in terms of number of markers and answer books marked. The enrollment, colleagues, this is something that one needs to take a look at closely. You will see in 2014 we had 48,835 candidates that entered for the exam. The number spiked in 2015. 2016, more or less, dropped by about 3,000, and 2017 a further drop of about 2,000 learners. Going further in terms of the actual results, the performance, here we give you the comparison over the four-year period, the 2014 to 2017. Bachelor's degree, 38.8% in 2014, and in 2017, 39.1% attainment in terms of bachelor's degree. What you will notice is, although the bachelor's degree came down slightly, the number that it achieved a diploma increased slightly, and that could be attributed to the fact that candidates did not meet the 50% achievement level in the four subjects. The summary of results from 2018 to 2017, which you can have a look at. The overall performance again, 2008 to 2017, and I'm not going to go through this slide. The pass rates in terms of actual percentages, as I did indicate that we did come down slightly, 85.5% to 82.76%. However, with the marking of the supplementary exam, and I'll show you a slide later, there is an improvement in terms of the pass rate after the supplementary exam, and the improvement is 1.6% more. So it takes us up to 84.6%, and that is almost 85%. The higher education access, again, I'm not going to talk to this one, but this is where I mentioned that the diploma access has increased compared to previous years, whilst your bachelor's came down slightly. The national quintiles, colleagues, in terms of this slide, I think what I want to draw your attention to is the narrowing of the gap between the performance of quintile 1 to quintile 3. So if you look at 2017, you will see your quintile 1 performance is actually much better compared to your quintile 3. Quintile 3 is sitting at 72.2%, and your quintile 1 for 2017 is 73.8%. The narrowing is quite significant, and one would now ask the question in terms of what's happening to the quintile 3 schools. Obviously, a quintile 4 and 5 remains the same, but in terms of the results throughout the quintiles, especially a 4 and 5, which is more noticeable, the pass rates have come down. And this talks to the pass rate per district as well. You will see in the slides later on that the pass rate has also decreased in each of the districts compared to 2016. This is a slide that talks to district performance. The only district below the 80% is District East, which is sitting at 77.7%. District Overberg was the one district that featured in the top 20 nationally. The other districts have done fairly well, but in comparison to 2016, there is the slight decrease there as well. Mathematics and physical science performance, the province places a lot of emphasis on mathematics participation and physical science participation. The problem here is that a number of our NST schools have large enrollment numbers at grade 10. And eventually, when candidates sit for the grade 12 exam, you would find that the candidates have already changed subjects in either grade 10, grade 11, or the beginning of grade 12. Now, this is an area of concern because whilst you set your targets, you find that the learners are changing from mathematics to mathematical literacy. And this is something that we need to place a lot of attention in terms of the change of subjects. And I think the support to learners in terms of subject choices needs to be strengthened at the end of grade 9, and most, I think for grade 10 as well, it will play a huge role to support learners in terms of mathematics and physical sciences, because you find your numbers going down in grade 12. Performance in mathematics, the province boasts the highest pass percentage in mathematics in 2017. Physical science performance is also above 70%, so giving you 74% in 2017, which is an increase from 2016. The pass rate distribution of schools in terms of the 100% and schools possibly at the lower end, and we're talking below 50%, we have 13 schools in the below 50% range, and these are the schools that go in from about 60% the previous year and go below the 60% point in 2017. 33 schools below 60%, of which 13 schools are below 50%. We have one school, the lowest is at 20%, and they've had 15 candidates. They had 15 candidates in the 2017 examination, sitting with a 20% pass rate. And Mr. Matsudisa will perhaps shed some light on that one particular school. Progress learners, I think this is an aspect of the presentations across the provinces that draws much attention. In terms of the Western Cape progress learners, we've had 3,280 progress learners in the system for 2017 compared to the 4,852 in 2015. However, given the multiple exam opportunity, we've had 1,862 learners that opted to write, and I think the pass rate speaks well, and to have 25 candidates who achieved bachelor's from the Progress Learners, that cohort of learners, I think it's much to celebrate. However, the performance in 2016 and 2015 was much better, because you've had 105 candidates in 2015 and 105 candidates in 2016 that got the bachelor's degree in terms of the Progress Learners. So if one focuses a lot in terms of support to Progress Learners, you'll find that they will be able to exit with a bachelor's degree pass. The supplementary results, as I've indicated, after your release on the 5th of January, you do get learners who enter for the supplementary examination, and after the remarks and rechecks as well, you'd find that at the end of that cycle, the difference is 1.6% improvement, thereby bringing the pass rate of the province for that exam cycle to 84.3%. I think very important is to note the interventions that take place after the release of the results, and that would be the feedback to the districts and the schools, feedback in terms of the question-by-question analysis, as well as all reports that go to the schools and the subject advisors, so that much intervention can take place in the subjects where these interventions are required at school level. Also, the focus intervention in terms of the underperforming schools, that they are supported by the district. Schools are monitored in terms of school management, teacher and learner attendance, and a strong focus on the subject intervention and performance. The high school improvement plan is an improvement plan in collaboration with service providers, and they support learners at risk and learners requiring more support. And there's also the Second Chance Matric program that has been rolled out per district, and we can provide more information on that aspect as well. Madam Chair, in terms of the challenges, and I think I kind of put this on the slide, because in terms of the service delivery protest, not so much at the end of the year for 2017, but more now for the June exam, it has enabled us to manage the situation. However, we found that the attendance of the learners, of the candidates, was kind of very poor, because we notified them quite late of the change of the venue. We had to shift exam venues to safer areas in order to still provide an opportunity for the candidates. However, we couldn't control the fact that not all of them could attend to write the examination. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Lewis will continue with the LTSM presentation.
Chair, thank you. I hope I can assist you with your time management, so I will be brief. I'm assisting everybody in the room. That's all right. Just the first slide could be a little bit confusing and could be misinterpreted, and I will explain. Just the WCED doesn't make use of the central procurement system. In other words, we do not use any tenders nationally concluded, either for the procurement of books or for the distribution of books. Some 2 years ago, we assessed the transversal tender for the distribution of books, and our conclusion was that it will eventually cost our schools more to get the books to them, which implies that schools will have less money to buy books and rather spend the norms and standards allocations on the distribution of books. That's it. If I need to unpack later, I will do so. Then the reasons, and the reasons there might be interpreted as the reasons why we are not participating, but it is not so. The reasons why we have our own system is that the word not must come out there. Our own system is cost effective. Our system doesn't include the warehousing cost of books. We have found that we can, or schools can, exchange booker if incorrectly ordered or if the numbers doesn't tally, can be swapped or exchanged quicker without any cost. And as a department, we've got peace of mind that the books are at the schools in time at the start of a new year. Also, we have the opportunity to build solid relationship with the publishers, and that is assisting eventually with the whole process of getting all LTSM at our schools. Just our system, and I won't go necessarily through the slide, Chair. Our system, we've got two tenders. The one is for LTSM and cleaning material. There's a 3-year tender. And then we've got a tender for textbooks, which is also a 3-year tender. These tenders have been concluded at fixed costs. In other words, our textbooks cost, for example, doesn't change from year to year. It's fixed. So until the existence of the tender, the cost of those books are fixed, and any cost of paper or any cost of getting books to schools doesn't affect that price that has been tendered for and agreed to. So the current system tender also provides that if a publisher provide us with books, that publisher must also ensure that those books get to the school. It's their responsibility, that's part of it. It helps us with the economies of scales that we've discovered. It's a faster ordering and delivery time. The system also allows us, as I said, that if schools, for any reason, procure books incorrectly, that the school or via us then can phone the publisher and those books are exchanged and corrected without any cost to the school. That's that one. Let me go to the next one. Share the balances of money, especially for non-Section 21 schools, which we manage. Those balances are paid over to the schools at the end of the financial year, so they receive their full amount. And by virtue of their status, your Section 21 schools get their monies as it gets transferred to the school. Just around the ordering timeline, for stationery and cleaning materials, there are two opportunities for schools to order. One opportunity in April, May, and one opportunity in August. All our ordering happens online. It's automated, and the automated system has been established on our Seamus system. So schools must apply online, and that is helping us with the whole issue that we've experienced a few years ago of requisitions getting lost, and the schools say we have ordered book and there's no proof what happened to the order. So it's online, it's there. The principal must sign off on that order, but also the circuit manager must sign off on that order, so that the circuit manager and the district must make sure that the schools have ordered these LTSM. For textbooks, there's only one opportunity. It happens in June, before the close of the second quarter. There are 2 weeks that schools have to order books. And then in July, we collate all those orders, and by the end of July, we provide those orders to the publishers, and the publishers then start to deliver. In September, we then assign in our sub-directorate LTSM certain teams, and their job then become you phone and chase publishers almost every day, and we monitor and track. Publisher A, you are supposed to deliver 100,000 books. Up to date, you have delivered so many. When will you deliver? So from September, that is what we are doing, and we normally have all our books by the end of October in our schools, and here and there it slips and runs over to November. Whilst the system is especially been set up for non-Section 21 schools, all schools can make the use of the system, although we know that some of our Section 21 schools procure their own books. However, when we open the system for the ordering of textbooks, all schools, Section 21, non-Section 21, you must complete the order form online. Even if you procure no books, then you have got a null requisition. And that for us is proof that if the new year the school complains we haven't received books, that we can go and pull that order and say, but you have indicated you haven't got books, and we can hold principals of schools accountable for the non-ordering of textbooks. The monitoring normally happens through at schools there are committees that's helping with the monitoring, but mostly by our districts and our circuit managers. We also have an online process whereby all schools must indicate whether they've got sufficient books or not, and it's called the SIM, the School Improvement Measure, which stems from the SIP. And all schools must indicate quarterly. There's a range of items that they must indicate. Do we have sufficient, what is outstanding? And then the district and the circuit managers then use that tool to do further investigation and monitoring. Just to conclude, Chair, it's also just to mention that the workbooks, which actually comes from DBE, we've got a good relationship with DBE in terms of workbooks, and we have no problems with the workbooks supplied by and distributed by DBE. We went a little bit further, and every year we procure from DVE a further 5% of workbooks, which we keep at our district offices, so that if schools experience an increase in learner numbers in the new year, that the schools can directly then go to the nearest district office and get the required amount of books. And then just the last one, we are also in the process to work on the procurement of e-books and to support our e-learning. It's still young because we are first busy with the rollout of tablets to schools, which is quite a costly exercise. Currently, 80% of our schools do have now internet and broadband internet. That was the first phase, and teachers have laptops, so they start with the e-learning, but eventually we would love also to see if we can get our textbooks in e-format so that learners can become used to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Sopotela.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the honorable members and colleagues. I'll be presenting on the National School Nutrition Program. I'm not going to talk to the first two slides that are covering the background. I'll go straight to slide number 3, which is three pillars of the NSNP. The NSNP has got three legs, which is the school feeding, nutrition education and deworming, as well as sustainable food production. Feeding, according to the budget, spends about 96% of the budget, and that 96% includes the money for feeding the guests as well as the honorarium for the volunteers. School nutrition, education and deworming is 0.5%. Sustainable food production is not funded. However, we've got 407 school gardens that we have sustained in the last 3 years. We have employed in 2018-19 600 gardeners, and they are paid through the incentive grants that is coming from EPWP. And the money that is paid is within the ministerial determination, which is the minimum wage for the gardeners. Coming to the next slide, which is the beneficiaries, the grant purpose to provide nutritious meals at targeted schools, and then the target outcome, enhance learning capacity and improve access to education. What are the outputs? The number of schools that prepare nutritious meals for learners, and the province who are feeding all the quintile 1-3. However, there are schools that are not implementing the whole school feeding because learners have got a choice and they are not forced to eat. We also feed quintiles 4-5. We are feeding 310 quintiles 4-5. And the total number of schools that we are feeding is 999 schools in the province, 474,828 learners. Looking at the menu, we are serving two meals a day. We are serving the breakfast as well as the main meal. WCED complies with the recommended food specifications and approved menu, consisting of meals containing starch, protein, fresh vegetables, and fruits. And we supply milk once a week. Who buys and cooks the food? WCED follows a centralized model, and that model is an open tender system. Service providers are contracted for a period of 2 years. The service providers buy the food and supply the schools directly. The average Western Cape Education current cost per meal for primary school is R3.02, for secondary schools R3.85, and then quintile 4-5, both primary and secondary, is R2.68. Currently, we've got three service providers that supply food to our schools. The number of volunteer food handlers that prepare the food is 2,755 over 999 schools. Breakfast is served before 8 a.m. and main meal is served not later than 12:30 p.m. The volunteers are paid an honorarium of 1,200 and a UIF of 24 rands, although the DORA prescribes that at least a minimum of 1,188 is paid towards the stipend. And also the scale that we are using is prescribed in the DORA that for a big school it is a learner ratio of 1:200 and as well as 1:120 in schools that the enrollment is fewer than 250. The next slide. Around the storage of food, the majority of our schools do have adequate infrastructure to support the effective implementation of the NSNP in the province, especially the new schools. The new schools, they are built with kitchens as well as the storage facilities. But in old schools, all our schools do have kitchens because we supply them with the mobile kitchens. The schools do not have infrastructure such as storage facilities for food supplies and refrigerators to store perishable food. The lack of these facilities poses a problem. Typically, food is stored in the kitchen cupboards provided with the mobile kitchens. Very few schools have storage facilities. This is a problem as storage is not prioritized due to budgetary constraints. The equipment and utensils, again, DORA prescribes that the budget is 0.7%. For this province, in 2018-19, we are allocated 2,499,679. And in 2018-19, we have prioritized the replacement of gas stoves. And each district, of which we've got 8 districts, will get 50 stoves. And in total, we will procure 400 gas stoves. Food deliveries, the principal is the accounting officer at the school level. It is expected out of him or her to nominate one of the school officials as the NSNP school coordinator, who must establish an NSNP school committee and give the task to the caretaker and volunteer food handlers. Most schools tax the receipt of food and the checking of expiry dates to the caretaker or to the volunteer food handler who is responsible for the storage at the time. NSNP district monitors check the storerooms and the stock forms to monitor stockpiling and expiry dates. Coming to the challenges, our province has got quite a number of quintile 4s and 5s, and especially new schools are classified as quintile 4, and we would like to see that these schools are included into the program. So I would like to expand the program to include learners in quintiles 4 to 5 schools, and also the lack of appropriate storage facilities poses a problem. Theft is rife in some areas, especially in the metro districts. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is how we are performing in these three areas, and we are open to initiatives and innovative measures to improve our service. Thank you.
For the presentation, we are not going to engage you. We are going to call on the other presentations, and we are going to engage everybody at the end of presentation. Northern Cape. Thanks, oh, sorry, Northern Cape. Note that it's because the MEC is my friend. I was expecting that he would come. Mpumalanga, Shorten. I was expecting her, but she's not coming in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues, good afternoon. We are going to brief the Honorable Committee, members of the committee, on the three items that we requested to brief the committee on. I will go straight to slide number 5, Chair, where we are indicating as the province that although we requested to talk about the grade 12 results, but we wanted to indicate to the members of the committee the performance of the whole system from grade 1 to grade 12. So it's for noting on slide number 5. Chair, on slide number 6, we want to indicate that as a province, there was a time where we were at position 9 in terms of grade 12 performance. In 2009, our results were at 47.9%, so we're in position 9 in terms of the log. We then moved to position 7 from 2011 academic year. 2011-2012, we're in position 7. We then improved to position 5 in 2013, 14, and 15. However, from 2016 and in 2017, we are now in position 6. We are not happy at the fact that there was a time in 2014 where we really nearly met the 80% target. We're at 79%, but since then, the graph is declining. It's something that we're not happy and proud of as a province, and we're working very hard so that we improve on that situation. On slide number 7, prior to 2013, as a province, we're performing below the national average, and in 2013, we're close to the national average, as the national average was 78.2%, and we're at 77.6%. And from 2014 to 2016, we're performing at above national average. But back in 2017, we declined from performing at 77.1% to 74.8% in 2017. Still on that slide, Chairperson, what I want to indicate is that in 2013 and in 2017, as a province, we do have, as part of our cultural practices, in two of our municipalities in the main, in Dr. J.S. Moroka and Tembisi Lehani, where we have initiation schools from the Ndebele community. So it takes place every 5 years. But the difference between 2013 academic year and 2017 academic year is that in 2017, as a province, really, we did not have resources to really support the learners while they were there, because we had budgetary constraints at the beginning of 2017 academic year and the beginning of 2017-18 financial year. So we were unable to really give them the necessary support. That's why in 2013 we had the resources, so we were able to support them, so they improved. The performance was at 77.6%. But in 2017, because of lack of budgetary of resources, we then dropped as a province overall. On slide number 8, Chair, we are indicating the quality of the passes. There was a slight improvement in terms of qualifying of students or learners that passed to qualify to study bachelor's, from 22.9% in 2016 to 23.4% in 2017. But after the supplementary examinations of 2017, the bachelor's improved to 30.7%. On slide number 9, we're indicating the district performance. We have 4 districts as a province. 2 of our districts in 2015, that is Ehlanzeni and Nkangala, they were performing at above 80%. What we then did, the district director that was responsible for Ehlanzeni was then promoted to become the chief director, district coordination, so that he can be in a position to support all the 4 districts. But immediately after that promotion, we have what we call in the province a moratorium on appointment of officials throughout the provincial administration, not only in education. The exemption in education is only for school-based, but anybody else outside of a school, we have been under a moratorium on filling of vacant posts from February 2015 to date. Because as a province, we're trying to really manage our compensation of employees, budget and spending. So after we had promoted that particular district director to become the chief director, currently as I speak to you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, 3 of our districts are managed by 18 district directors. I'm hoping that today at the Executive Council sitting, the 3, because we had interviewed after we got a special approval from EXCO, we have interviewed and made recommendations to the Executive Council to fill the 3 positions for us, so that we can have stability at that level. As I'm speaking to the issues around the moratorium, we had, during the 2017 academic year, we had 18 circuit managers as well. So we also got approval. From the beginning of 2018, those circuit managers have since been appointed. So we want to stabilize both at the circuit level as well as at district level, so that we can have the necessary support to our schools, so that we don't decline in 2018. On the next slide, we're indicating the district performance by category, and we're also indicating that the progress learners that we had in 2016 and in 2017, 54% of the learners that were progressed passed in 2016, and in 2017, 56.4% of those learners passed. And in 2017, 5.9% of those learners that were progressed they qualified to study bachelor's in university. So we're saying the progression policy, Chair, is really working. Otherwise, these learners could have been retained in grade 11 and we spend no money, while at the same time, with this policy now, they've passed and they're studying in universities in 2018. On slide number 11, we're indicating the municipal performance. We have 17 municipalities in the province. Of the 17 municipalities, 11 of them declined, unfortunately, from the performance of 2016 into 2017, which is something that I said earlier on that we're not proud of. We have four of our municipalities that are performing below 70%, which is the balancing. And if you look at the number of learners in this balancing, it's a small municipality. It has enrolled 282 learners and only 261 wrote and 179 passed. It's a really small number, so we should have made sure that all those learners passed, but we didn't. Tembisi Lehani and Dr. J.S. Moroga is the area that I said in 2017 we had Ingoma in those two municipalities, hence our decline, because we did not have the resources to support the learners that went for the cultural activity. Our worst performing municipality in the province is Pixliga Isakaseme, where the pass percentage in 2017 was 65.1%. Slide number 12, Chair, we're indicating the categories in terms of the passes, in terms of the schools. To say overall we had declined, as I said earlier. So even the number of schools that achieved 100% declined in 2017 from 2016, we're indicating the performance between the fee-paying schools as well as the non-fee-paying schools on that slide. As a province, we don't have a school that performs below 20%. We don't have the 0% category. But we're not happy with the fact that most of our schools, when it says no school must perform below 70%, we have schools that performed well in 2016, but for whatever reason, in 2017, their performance declined. Slide number 13 to 15, Chair, we just indicated the content as subjects to say of the nine that were indicated on slide number 13 to 15, only one showed some improvement, which is economics. All the other content subjects, Chair, they declined from accounting, agriculture, life sciences, business studies, geography, mathematical literacy, mathematics and physics. All of them, the performance declined from the 2016 achievement. On slide number 15, what encourages us, Chairperson, is that we're seeing that in the province, the number of learners that are taking mathematics is increasing, and those that are taking mathematical literacy is decreasing. However, it means that we must really make sure that these learners are supported so that they pass their mathematics at the end of 2018 academic year. Having indicated the performance of our province in 2017 as compared to 2016, we then developed what you call a learner performance improvement plan for 2018, where we're saying that we're targeting that in grade 12, the performance should be at 80% and above come the end of 2018 academic year. And we're also indicating the other targets to say we want to increase learner performance across all grades by 10%. And on slide number 19, we're indicating those grades and their targets for 2018. In 2018, on slide number 21, we have 58,401 learners that are enrolled to write grade 12. Those are full-time candidates, which is a slight decline from 59,500 of 2017. And on slide number 22, we're indicating that of the 58,401 learners, there is 13,157 learners that have been progressed to grade 12 this year. And these learners will be supported to make sure that they pass come the end of the academic year. Our learner performance improvement plan targets learner support, it targets the teacher support, and it also targets parents and the community involvement so that we make sure that indeed at the end of the year the learners pass. As part of 2018 academic year, we started implementing the plan from January 2018, and now on slide number 27, we're indicating now that we're in June, which is the winter school program, we're indicating that we'll be running the winter school program from the 25th of June to the 6th of July, which is 10 days. 20,000 learners from all the schools that performed below 70% in 2017. This winter school program is compulsory for them. So they will be supported in the centers that we have set aside in the province. The province is funding these centers. So all the 20,000 learners are subjected to attend this winter school program throughout the 125 centers that we have established in the province. There is going to be monitoring of these centers by our SECs, our district officials, as well as head office, and we will come the reopening of schools, then do what you call the analysis of results for the second term. On slide number 28 to slide number 30, we're indicating the results of the first term, because we're saying we've seen our results for the end of 2017. We came up with an improvement plan for 2018. At the end of the first term, which is the end of March, this is how our learners performed from grade 3, 6, 9, and 12. And then we will then analyze the results of term 2. Immediately, we finalize capturing those on our SSMs. And then we'll have what you call district performance review sessions in July and in August when schools reopen. There is a slide 32 where we're indicating the risk that we have identified when we're finalizing our improvement plan for 2018. We were saying that one of the risks that we had identified that might make us not win on achieving the targets of 2018, we said the strikes and disengagements that we had in 2017 from our teacher unions, issues that arise from damaged schools through natural disasters, and the risk of partial implementation of the plan by our schools and monitoring from our circuits and districts, and issues around service delivery protests and related strikes and cultural activities affecting learners, such as the initiation schools. We want to report, Chairperson, that at the end of June 2018, fortunately for us, since the beginning of this academic year, we never had any challenges from our teacher unions, which is a positive on our side. And we're indicating that 18 schools were affected by storm damages in Ehlanzeni district since in May 2018. And we're currently costing that so that we can be in a position to fix those 18 schools. Recently, Chairperson, you might have read in the media that during our service delivery protest, there were about 6 schools that were torched in the province. And the message that we have indicated to our communities is that as government, we are not going to rebuild or reconstruct those schools. What we are going to do is we are going to mobilize the same communities. We are going to clean up those schools and make sure that they are habitable for learners to go and learn in them as a way of discouraging them from when they have a challenge, when they want a road, they go and touch a school. So we are hoping that that strategy will really assist us in making sure that our schools are not touched going forward. The issue of this year with the matter of the initiation schools has not affected us up until the end of June, so we're hoping that this matter will not affect us come the end of the 2018 academic year. On the matter of the learner teacher support material, Chair, we're indicating that in the province all our schools are Section 21 schools. But what we did not give them the powers to deal with issues of learner teacher support material that we have centralized at the departmental level. So we're indicating that we are procuring LTSM centrally. On the matters of textbooks, we are utilizing the contracts that the Department of Basic Education has with publishers. So we get the requisitions from schools and we procure centrally to benefit from the economies of scale. On stationery, we have a contract where all the learners, all the schools requisition and we deliver to schools. We're saying that there are advantages for us as a province utilizing the national catalog on textbooks, because we then get the economies of scale. And then it also allows us that where there is a new curriculum, we're able to buy those textbooks for all the learners in the province, irrespective of their quintile. We want to indicate that on LTSM, the challenge that we still have is around the retriever system. Our quintile 1, 2, 3 in the main chair are not doing well in as far as the retrieval of these textbooks are concerned.
which is really costing us a lot of money, and it's money that we don't have. Our budget for 2019 academic year, we're indicating on slide that says LCSM procurement for 2019 academic year. Our total budget is 263 million, and we will be in a position to buy stationery for all the learners. And we have registered the budget pressure with our provincial treasury so that we can be in a position to deal with the issues around the 10 to 20% that we don't retrieve on an annual basis from the quintile 1 to 3 schools. But on that matter, Chair, we have engaged our SDBs to say, as government, we cannot afford to top up at that high level because it's money that we don't have, we are unable to sustain that. As part of the presentation, Chair, we're just indicating that other than stationery and textbooks, as a province or as a system, we're expected to provide other learner-teacher support material, and we have a huge backlog on that because we've always been prioritizing stationery and textbooks. But there are issues around library books. There are issues around reading materials for grades 4 to 9. We haven't been able to provide those chapters over a number of years. And that's why maybe our learners are not reading with comprehension as confirmed by the PELS report. So we have provided an indication of the backlogs in as far as learner teacher support material is concerned. What is good about this knowledge is that when we do realize savings during the course of the year, we know which items we can then prioritize and make sure that we provide to schools. On the matter of the school nutrition program, Chair, I'll go to slide number 50 to say in 2017-18 financial year, 905,884 learners were provided with a nutritious cooked meal over a period of 191 days. And 126,368 primary school learners were DWM through the partnership with the Department of Health. We had 4,899 volunteer food handlers that were paid by the SGBs, and we had 116 gardeners that have been paid through the EPWP grant. Chairperson, in the province, as a department, we have an entity that reports to us, which is Mpumalanga Regional Training Trust. We are utilizing MRTT to train our food handlers on how to cook the food so that it does not lose out on the nutritious status of the food that they are preparing, and also so that they can be in a position to run their own catering companies at the end of the two-year contract that they have with the various schools. On slide number 51, we're indicating how much we have spent in terms of the grant in 2017-18 financial year and the budget that we have in 2018-19 financial year. Chairperson, in the province, the model that we're using to implement the nutrition program, our executive council resolved that we have what you call the government nutrition program, where schools and patients in hospitals, young people who are benefiting from the youth centers that are managed by the Department of Social Development, we procure, or the entity called Mpumalanga Economic Regulator Agency, MEGA, procures on behalf of all of us. This program, Chair, is meant to make sure that the farmers that are supported by the Department of Agriculture in the province have a market from us as education through our schools, from the Department of Health through their hospitals, and from social development through their youth centers. So MEGA procures from these farmers that are being supported by agriculture so that eventually they grow to an extent that the excess that they are producing can then be exported through the current establishment of the Mpumalanga Fresh International Fresh Produce Market. So we are participating in that particular program, Chair. We are requesting the committee to note the issues that were raised through this presentation, and we stand as guided by the members of the committee. Ngiyabonga.
Northern Cape, for real now. Did you see the deputy president sitting there at the door? as you were presenting? We did not? Okay. It's good you did not see him, otherwise we'd begin to.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, members, colleagues. Between Mr. Issa and myself, we make the presentation. I'd start off by saying that Dr. Pollier explained that provinces work within the strategy, the National Strategy of Learner Attainment. So our plan falls within that ambit, as well as being guided with the policy prescripts as stated even by Gauteng. This was spelled out very clearly. So we look at the promotion and progression policy very, very acutely. We look after our progress learners. We ensure that there's modulation and a number of issues are really focused upon. If I go to the presentation itself, I'd go to the overall statistics on slide number 4, and we will notice that there was a drop in numbers. In 2016, we had 11,821 learners who sat for the exam or registered for the exam, and in 2017, we had 10,519. It might not seem much, but given the context in which we operate, these wide, vast spaces, with these few scattered people in between long distances, make service delivery very, very difficult. And I'm sure, Chairperson, you know you've been experienced it and you know how very difficult it is in the North Cape. We had, in 2016, a pass rate of 78.7. In 2017, 75.6. So there was a slight decline of 3.1%, which we're not very happy with. So we've ensured that we put systems in place and to try and arrest the decline. But importantly, I must mention this. We've also just come out of a period of disengagement with the biggest union statute. So since the end of March, up until mid-July, there was a complete disengagement, work to rule, and no departmental official was allowed into any space where SATU membership found themselves in. So it was very, very difficult. And having said that, you can know what the impact of this disengagement is going to be, because we have to pick up the pieces, and I think that is why our MEC is not here. She's taken it upon herself to go through the province to our winter schools, because we've intervened. We don't have sufficient funds to have a prolonged winter school, so we're having a winter school of about 7 days. We usually have 5 days. So we're having this prolonged winter school of about 7 days, and the MEC is on this road trip to conceive. She can't only not only speak to motivate learners, but also motivate the community serving those learners. Importantly, our district enrollment, if you look at Francis Barth in 2016, which is our biggest district in the province, had 4,474 learners. In 2017, 3,780. So there's a slight decline, about 694, but safe to say that Francis Barth and the JTG, the John Taolo district, is the two biggest districts. Francis Barth has about 40% of all our learners we find in Francis Barth, Namakwa being the smallest. If we look at the pass rates, again, Francis Barth, pass rate in 2016, 78.4. Then there's been a decline in 2017, 75.5. JTG, 70.5, and a slight increase in 2017 by 71.4. So although not a very large impact, but there has been some form of impact. And there's been a decline in the MacWorld, Pixley, ZFM, and Transitbar. So we slipped from 78.7 to 75.6. Let me just have a graphic representation showing, outlining that there was two districts that was below 75%, and that was the Pixley district and the John Taolo district, despite the fact that the John Taolo district moved up 0.9%, because they had 70.5 and now they have 71.4. So there has been some improvement in the John Taolo district. We also give per quantile enrollment and pass rate per quantile, and as outlined, we see that there's a slip, but importantly, in quantile one, in our quantile one schools, in we see there's been some increase, 70.3 in 2016, and in 2017 we have a 71.7. So a little bit of intervention in terms of what we could do, because this depends on the kind of funds that we have. We're making an impact in the poorest of the poor. We are, however, worried, particularly in our quintile 3 schools, because there we've slipped from 68.4 to 60, or rather from 68.4 to 65.8. There has been a decline, quintile 1, 70.3 to 71.7. Pass rate for gender, we're not doing what Gauteng, we're not getting right what Gauteng has been getting right in terms of the females, because our males are still outperforming our females, and we see that in 2016 we had performance from our female learners at from 77.7, our males had 79.9. In 2017, 74.7 to 2017, 76.9. So there some work has to be done there. Performance per classification, and here we're looking at our bachelor's degrees, our diplomas, our higher certificates, and our endorsed certificates. We see that there has been a decline from 2016 to 2017 in Transitbar, from 1,081 bachelor's degrees, they only have 909. Provincially, we had in 2016, 2,606, and in 2017, we had 2,205. The quintile performance per classification, there we see the quality coming out very strongly in quintile 1. We had in 2016, we had 271 bachelor's degrees, entry into a bachelor's degree, but in 2017 we see an increase to 909, which is commendable. We however feel that much more can be done, particularly in, although there's been an increase in quintile 1, quintile 2 and quintile 3. Being a province that's really driven by the mining sector, agriculture, astronomy in particular, and also now solar plants, we take our maths and physics very, very important. And our budgets are precisely skewed in such a way that we do look after our maths performance and we look after our physical science performance with everything we have. In 2016, we had a pass rate of 60.74 in maths. In physical science, we had a pass rate of 57.4. In 2017, however, there's been a slight decrease to 57.4, and as well as in physical science, 2.6. So there's been slight decreases which has to be arrested, and we have plans in place to do so. As I've indicated, We work very closely in collaboration with the DBE, who gives us guidance and support during their quarterly visitations and the oversight, as well as in collaboration with the Free State, which we have a close connection to because they're very near and it doesn't drain our funds when we do travel. So they travel from time to time and so do we. Here we have our targets since 2014 to 2019. This slide on page 15 outlines what our targets were, how many learners wrote since 2014 to 2017, what our pass rates were. In 2014 we had a pass rate of 1,529 who passed from the 2,411 that wrote. In 2015 there was an increase to 1,742. In 2016, 2789. We did a decline a little to 1,694. In 2017, 2796. And a further slip to 1,604. That's for mathematics and physical science, as outlined there. But that is mainly due to many factors. One, it is the recruitment of teachers, particularly in your far rural areas, and our language problem. We get people, particularly in the Pixlikaseme district, teachers from the areas where we normally recruit from the Eastern Cape, are only able to speak English and are not able to speak to the learning Afrikaans. Later on we will see what the Afrikaans, our homeland language has also done to us in the 2017 results, and played a huge role in our slight decline. Our progress learner performance, in 2016 we had a 53.6% pass rate, in 2017 we had a 52.8% pass rate. Here we give an indication that in each of the districts, what has happened over the years. We see in the JTG district again, 49.4 in 2016. In 2017, there has been an increase in performance in 50 as they achieved 54.2%. Now, MAFWA, we are worried because they had entered learners that were 107. 27 turned up to write full sitting, but only 7 of them passed. There was a 25.9% pass rate. So we see provincially slight decrease from 53.6 to 52.8. But importantly to note, it is these learners that would have fallen through the cracks if there was no intervention and no assistance and support provided. We also give our progress learners pass for classification type, and I want to reiterate that which the MEC stated in Gauteng. These are learners that I do believe people gave up hope. This is an opportunity for these learners to get the necessary guidance and support and nurturing which they do need. In the Northern Cape, we've embarked on what we call a psychosocial support a program. Apart from the academic work we do, we assist them with other issues. Sometimes it is study skills, sometimes it is career guidance, and sometimes it goes beyond that. So much support is being given to our progress learners. However, we had also a slight dip again from 52.8 to 53.6. From 53.6 to 52.8. 2016, 53.6, and 2017, 52.8. In with regard to our bachelor's, in 2016 we had 60 learners who got into a bachelor's degree. In 2017, we only managed 22. The next slides has given indication of our progress learners versus our modulated learners, how many sat, how many didn't sit, and the overall provincial number that failed. We have our subject results on slide 21. And there we again look at, we have Afrikaans homeland language in numbers, and then we have in percentages those who have passed, and we can see that our Afrikaans home language in 2016, we have 5,345 learners who wrote. In 2017, 4,975 that wrote, so there was a difference of 370. We see that in 2016, 5,046 those learners achieved, but in 2017 only 4,390 achieved. So there's a margin of, or a difference of 727. Here we see it in percentage wise, 94.4% in 2016, and 2017, 86.8% pass rate. So our Afrikaans is definitely a problem. There's a minus 7.6% failure rate. Those are our languages. I think Afrikaans is the one language, Honorable Chairperson, that stands out as the language that we've got to concentrate on. But it's again, because Afrikaans is the third language of these learners who access. Home language might be Xhosa or even Setswana. And the nearest school might be offering Afrikaans as a home language, and these children then use that language as the language of instruction, which really is a big, big problem.
Okay. I would request that you actually focus on the...
Okay. Then we just give the home languages again.
Where they are dropped.
Yeah.
And the key subject.
I'm going to look at our key subject performance 2016, accounting, business studies, economics on slide 26. Geography, life sciences, and maths lit. There we have, in comparison to slide 27, you can see the drop again from 74% to 63.6, from 78 for business studies to 61.9, from economics from 74, there was a slight increase to 77, geography 79, to 85, life sciences 68 to 66, and maths lit 77. We stayed 77.6 to 77, but the cohort remains smaller. Agricultural science and history is a comparison. I'm not going to go, I won't detail and belabor those points. The impact of subject combinations, Afrikaans was one big problem, and then we have business studies and mathematical literacy on slide number 31, as well as life sciences and mathematical literacy, because here we have huge numbers, 2,506, and we only had 1,409 that passed that combination. If you look at life sciences and mathematical literacy, we had 3,359 learners, and we had a pass rate of 1,821. So that combination is a combination at risk, and it is a combination that we are looking at. I've detailed the math, science, and technology schools in particular. There we've broken down the schools in detail, but we see for old Denaledi and technical schools, math, science, and technology technical schools, we have a 75.1% pass rate in 2016. In 2017, we have a 71.1% pass rate. Then we have our maths performance there in detail, again, schools and our science schools. And then because math, science, and technology is quite a focus point in the province, we see that we have schools additional to this list of schools which we concentrate on as well, and we just rotate them in terms of the kind of support we give them, the kind of resources we give them. So 2016, we see there is a 72.2% pass rate, slightly to 71.8% pass rate. I won't go through all the mathematical science and additional lists. Our underperforming schools, we note Francis Bart in particular. Francis Bart has 10 schools underperforming, and they are really under 60%, which is a cause of concern. JT has 6 of them. The Pixley-Kasseme district has no school underperforming 10%. The ZF McGow has 6 schools underperforming. And then we have 19 schools with the 100% pass rate. Our reasons for underperforming is learners offer subject combinations which have a high failure rate as a combination. For example, I just gave an indication of life sciences and agriculture and so on. Then there's poor performance in Afrikaans home language, which I think we've arrested this year. Accounting, business studies, history, and agricultural science. They compared to 2016. We have many, many new teachers in the system, and they have to grow. So there's an increased number of novice teachers across all subjects, especially our high enrollment subjects, such as business studies, such as geography, such as life sciences. Then we have a number of underqualified teachers, including teachers from primary schools, because of lack of teachers. So we're battling with that. We're checking profiles with that, which teacher profiles with subjects they are teaching, so that the swaps and shifts can be made. There's a high number of migrant teachers, particularly in your JTG area. High percentage of absenteeism. And then, as I said, given the fact that there was this disengagement with the department, SBA suffered, and we do believe the quality of curriculum implementation also suffered. Large number of progress learners, and then our socioeconomic circumstances is dire in the Northern Cape. So we have many child-headed households, resulting in poor learner attendance, vacancies again also, because of the moratorium on the filling of these posts, given that the personnel budgets are all overspending. We also find, because we zoom into each and every subject in our underperforming schools, we find that teachers are still teaching through the test and encouraging rote learning and inflated school assessment, substandard assessment tasks and lenient marking, and this was picked up by the DBE as well as Omalusi. But these are all areas that are being addressed through the National Strategy for Learner Attainment. Thank you, Chairperson. I give over to my colleague.
I hope you are going to be able to resolve in 10 minutes.
Thank you. It's possible because it's less steps, I guess. Chairperson, and then also I will not go, thanks for the opportunity, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I will not go into the background because it is same as outlined by Gauteng and other departments earlier today in terms of the both areas, starting with the centralized LTSM procurement first. It is a HEDCOM decision to endorse the National Treasury Initiative, and that is what we are doing. But also, being a province with the lowest number of people and the largest landmass in South Africa, other than the Western Cape, with our vast distances, we had to go the route of, we had to try the central procurement out, and the advantages that we can safely record is that that we have benefited from this in terms of not only the centralized management, which took a huge responsibility from us as a province with our minimum resources, but also in terms of quality price modalities we have benefited, but also the attempt to bring about uniformity in the entire system in the country. We appreciate that, but also the biggest advantage that we have is the savings realized by this bulk procurement, and I'll speak to it later in the presentation. Then I continue to look at obviously the questions that was put as guidance to us, what happens to the change. Now, for stationery, and I will break it up into two, stationery and textbooks. For stationery, we've got, we gave schools an option when we started with this process of consultation was centralized in the province. And schools, for stationery schools who procured from the centralized contract, at the procured expenditure deducted from their location. But the schools that did not procure centrally, they received their allocation in full. For schools who procure centrally, the audit amount was deducted from the stationary locations, as I said, and the full balance, after all, was paid back over to the school. From 2018 onwards, I must mention, Chairperson, the Northern Cape Department of Education will not participate in terms of stationery in the centralized procurement contract due to the majority of schools indicating their unwillingness to participate. All schools will therefore receive their stationery allocations in August and consequently procure stationery from local suppliers. We have put systems in place as the department to monitor procurement and ensure that learners receive their required stationery with a specific focus on quintiles 1 and 3. Coming to textbooks, based on the decision of central procurement and also as part of the implementation of CAPS, we withheld all allocations to procure textbooks for all schools irrespective of the allocated amount. Obviously this was done, as I said, in consultation with schools with SGBs. The procurement of textbooks in the first 3 years of implementation resulted into huge under expenditure in our case, and we had to manage it from there. Textbook procurement by schools was therefore not determined by a school's budget, but rather by its need to ensure learners have textbooks in all grades and all subjects to ensure universal coverage. And by doing this, the department could procure all needed books by all schools by cross-subsidizing, as previous present also said, and ensuring universal coverage, but at the same time, Chairperson, reducing budgets in other programs. What is we will continue with that, Chairperson. From 2018 onwards, schools will receive LSM allocation, which will be paid to the schools as per the allocation letter issued in April 2018. But as a provincial department, we will continue procuring textbooks from a centralized budget. And schools will therefore be able to procure additional books or other LSM from the allocation, which will be paid over to them. So that is taking care of the change issue. The correct time of ordering books, Chair, we are working from the DBE sector plan, which clearly guides the process, as all other provinces. Out of the DBE sector plan, as a province, we developed a provincial management plan aligned to the sector plan. I saw that a copy of that plan, 2019 plan, was also issued together with a presentation. We started the process as early as March every year for the procurement of the next academic year. So schools will therefore start to place their orders in May, June. This is the year that they started to place their orders now. So orders will be placed by the department, and how they are doing it currently is on the system also. We've got the Prelexa system we have learned from the Western Cape. We are also ordering online. And with that Prelexa system, we are also in a position to monitor real-time orders as well as delivery. So the final orders will be placed by the department in July 2018. Chairperson, the key challenges related to the central procurement system. I spoke in the beginning about the advantages, but there are some challenges that we have experienced. One is the challenge of empowering or supporting local suppliers, obviously. In terms of stationery, and that's why and that's why we are not continuing with central procurement for stationery. In terms of stationery, a big challenge was the issue, was issues that schools had with the quality of the procured material. With textbooks, minimum challenges we experienced was especially emerging or smaller publishers. We worked with them, but we did experience in the beginning, in the first 2 years, challenges with the South African Post Office, which we has used as, which we are using as the delivery agent, and this consequently has been resolved, that specific challenge. Chair, we have experienced, as maybe other provinces as well, problems of schools not ending up getting books that they did order in the first place in the central procurement system, but there are reasons for that. A number of factors that contributed as we have done our homework to this error, but we see the order placed by the school on the Braille access system as critical, and hence we do thorough verification as that, because that is the input data. Our number of schools in the beginning from the onset ordered incorrectly. Errors could also be made during the picking and packing processes by the delivery agent, which in our case is the South African Post Office. So we had a team sitting in the warehouse working from there also to do checks and verification. And as I'm saying, we've got this monitoring and checking processes and attempts to mitigate these errors. We record very little errors in this regard, Chairperson, but any error reported in the one-off of the delivery agent will be is corrected by the PED by returning and crediting titles with publishers in order to get the correct titles. We are also reminding schools annually not to accept wrong material when they sign off on the material. If they receive any material that they did not order, they mustn't sign it off, but send it back with the delivery agent. And that is how we try to address that problem. Chair, the next slide, number 10, speaks about the role of provinces in the monitoring of the implementation of the retrieval system. The same as I guess guided also by sector plan, and you will also see that we've got, for instance, a copy or example of annual retrieval report that we have submitted to DBE. So we do monitor, and we, as a province, and we try our utmost, and we even have campaigns, retrieval campaigns, in the last quarter annually to ensure 100% retrieval. But we are not there yet, Chair. The role of districts, they will receive and verify the retrieval reports annually. They will identify flashpoints, schools with critical shortages, or schools where there are problems with retrieval, and we expect circuit managers to engage with those schools and ensure that 100% retrieval is effected, but they will also support schools to complete the reports correctly. That basically, Chair, is the role of the provincial office as well as the district in terms of the retrieval. And it brings me to the end of the presentation around LTSM. I move over to the one of NSNP. You will see in the line out there, I've still got background objectives, etc. I will skip those because it is the same, because it's as per DORA. Safe to say, Chairperson, that I need to touch on some stats that are not in there, just to give you a sense of, or the meeting a sense of our clients that we are servicing, our schools. We've got 265,458 learners benefiting from the program in the province, 303 schools, 1,644 food handlers. They're also getting a stipend of 1,200 per month, but after UIF deductions, 1,188, the same as Gauteng. We've got 189 feeding days for quintile 1 and 3 learners, and 179 feeding days for those quintile 4 to 5 schools that we have targeted as also schools that need some feeding. Our budget is in the province with the low numbers, 170,211,000. That's now the 18-19 conditional grant allocation. And then from the provincial equitable share, 20,353,000 that we have. Chairperson, our primary beneficiaries of this program is quantile 1 to 3 primary and secondary learners in all public schools and special schools. However, we have also targeted, we've also got targeted learners in primary and secondary schools in quantiles 4 to 5 that also benefit where there is a need. Obviously, our secondary beneficiaries are our voluntary food handlers, unemployed parents, especially mothers, are contracted to prepare meals for learners and are receiving a monthly stipend that I alluded to early on. But we also see our local SMMEs as a secondary beneficiary by selling groceries to our schools. The menu, I won't waste my time on that one, Chairperson. It is prescribed. We must give all three food groups, starch, protein, and veggies. Who buys and cooks the food? Each school has a subcommittee of the SGB responsible for NSLP administration. They buy monthly or weekly groceries based on the menu, and the food handlers prepare and serve the food. We expect learners to be fed by 10 o'clock. However, learners who are served breakfast, because there are some schools where we are serving breakfast as well, some with initiatives from private initiatives, where they are breakfast served, we move it to 11 o'clock.
Move on to food storage, please.
Storage, it's supposed to be, and in all schools we are trying to get there to store it in a designated area for having a designated area for the storage of the food. It's adequately secured at all times. Should be kept hygienic and safe. Should not be stored directly on the floor, but rather in cupboards, on checks, rails, and pallets. And those are the kind of things that monitors goes out and check in our schools. And where we have problems, and earlier on we spoke about serving areas, also dignified serving areas. Although we do not have that in all the schools, in most of the schools, we have made provision for that through the infrastructure program. The educator responsible for the program must ensure that all those things are adhered to, but in addition to that, stock control sheet should be updated on a daily basis. In so doing, also looking at expired stock and address that. Regular checks should be made to compare the stock on hand on the stock and control sheet, etc., making sure that hazardous chemicals and cleaning materials are stored separately and not with the food, and all the other things that I have mentioned in the previous slide, Chairperson. Schools are allocated a small percentage from the grant for utensils annually, coming to the equipment and utensils used. And DBE is also giving guidance in that regard in terms of what type of cooking and eating utensils must be bought. The checking and receiving of food, the appointment of the designated official at the school, usually an educator, it happens. And I spoke about the expiring dates and quality of items that must be checked. Challenges, Chairperson, in this regard. As I'm saying, not in all schools we have adequate kitchen storage areas and dining areas that are compliant to R962, and I was made to believe R962 is a food security regulations as per the Department of Health. So not all schools have those, but we are striving to get there. We're taking it one bit at a time with our colleagues in the infrastructure chief directorate trying to address these at our schools. HR at all challenges, at all levels, also remains a challenge. Feeding rate is inadequate because of high food prices. In most schools are complaining about that. And food handlers are also complaining about the stipend of 1,200, which with UIF taken off is also less now. So those are basically the challenges that we are experiencing, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We welcome your presentation. The last province to present is Third West.
You'll stick to your dedicated subject, or even less. It's 8 o'clock. And have all the challenges in the main. This machine here. Just highlight what has been, but also indicate the current performance. I've just been reminded, Chair, that our MEC and HOD has tendered the apology due to another engagement relative to the Section 108B, 1B. So I'm told that they did tender. So
this is why I'd say maybe you'd have to reach out to highlight the challenges that you're facing in all the categories of the briefing, because I know that we've been northwest and they have sufficient time to engage in an urgent job.
It is common knowledge that we did not perform well in 2017, Chairperson, and we have, in the presentation that we have, all the issues that inform our underperformance. As I'm rushing through the presentation, the first issue there is about the provincial performance trends over the years, but also we are highlighting the rejected SBAs. You see, the poor performance on Jefferson. Yeah, we were going to highlight and also indicate the total enrollments. There is a slight increase in the 2018 enrollment figure on that slide. But also,
I didn't understand. I was trying to say, when you say SBA, you say school based.
Or in full.
So
thank you. We also highlight the issues pertaining to the school based assessment. Because that's where most of our problems lies. Because if the informal assessment is not tightened, then it affects the final exam. So we had some rejections in the province, and we, in our presentation, we are highlighting the reasons why some of the SBA's school-based assessment processes were rejected by UMADUSI. If you look at the following slide, let me quickly rush to it. Where it says rejected SBAs, school-based assessment. And you can see per sub-district how many of those were rejected, because we submitted those figures which were slightly above the threshold, were far above, over 15%, and therefore UMADUSI did reject it. If you look at Ujanala, 77 cases were rejected. In Dr. Kaunda, 41, with the worst case being Dr. R.S. Mumbati, 103 cases rejected, and in Ngakamulema, 61. And the subjects that contributed to these rejections, in the next slide, you'll see agriculture is the biggest problem in the province. We've already addressed the situation. You'll see in our next slides. You can see 50 cases rejected in the whole province of agriculture. Well, now, what were the reasons? You know, as you see in the slide, the principles of assessment not were compromised. Common tasks at times not well managed or administered. We provide common tasks, but we never manage and administer at school level. You know, group work and inflation of marks, poor quality of marking at school level, tasks being recycled, shadow marking, motivation not done at all the various levels, tasks not pre-moderated and post-moderated. So these are reasons why these SBEs were rejected, and therefore you'll see under our intervention strategies what we have in mind. Now, Chairperson, what is the current performance situation in the province? So that when you speak about whether we are going to achieve our intended target, is it going to happen? Look at what is happening currently. We are comparing this cohort of learners who wrote grade 11 are now in grade 12. In the province, all grade 11s perform at 74%. Now they are at 78%, which is a slight improvement. But you look at Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, Dr. Ruth Mumpathi, and Maga Mulema. There's a decrease, especially in Dr. RS. But if you further look per district now, you can see what I mean. In Dr. KK, the Matlasana sub-district is underperforming at 71. They were at 75, now they are at 71.6. Rushing through to Bujanala is doing well, above 80. That is a district that is doing well, but we need to lock those gains so that we don't find ourselves with that district underperforming. If you look at Ngaka Modiri, Fuying, it's at 66. They have not been doing well. Those grade 11s were at 54% in 2017. The very same cohort is now at 66. There's no improvement. They are always performing below 70. Mahikeng was at 82. It dropped to 72. Ratlowo 57, and they are at 68. There are reasons for that, which we'll highlight as we rush through this presentation. Look at now your Dr. Ruth. That is our biggest challenged sub-district and district. Greater Taung, they are always on the news, we'll explain why. They are 71, Naledi 72, and Kagisano Molopo is 74. They are below the target that we have set for the province. And this is the first time, these are first time results. And we, at the same time, in tracking these learners from the very first time they entered school, what we are trying to look at the rate of performance throughout the 12 years. So we want to see how they will perform at the end of the year. Now, what are the challenges, Chairperson? We've got systemic challenges, we've got school-based challenges, and we've got social challenges. But mainly with us would be the social challenges, where there was a loss of teaching time. Up to 3 months, school's not functioning because of community protests, you know, and superficial syllabus coverage, and schools not utilizing reports, your diagnostic reports from DBE, your Umalusi reports, your Pell studies, your SACMEC studies, your teams, that will assist the schools to perform. So there is minimum use of those available resources to provide targeted interventions. Umalusi has highlighted serious matters that we need to attend to, where Umalusi has indicated that teachers are not au fait with specific requirements for appropriate CAPS subject requirements. That's what Umalusi has indicated to us as a province. Teachers using obsolete versions of policy documents. Teachers not aware of the nuances of what constitutes different kinds of tasks. So we are aware of our challenges, and we are reading these reports, and we are providing a support that is required. Internal moderation that checked only compliance, not the quality of teaching and learning. So you can see that indicated that the school-based assessment processes are critical and key to the improvement of results. And therefore, my colleagues are working hard on those issues, as now we are indicating the improvement strategies. That what we have done, Chairperson, since the beginning of the year, we provided all schools with weighted annual teaching plans, the ATPs, to say in the first term you need to have covered 50% of both syllabus and SBE coverage. I'm sure by now people understand what SBE stands for. And we say in the second term it should be 30%. And in the third term, 20%, so that we can allow for revision in the first term. So we are also now tracking those processes where we check whether the annual teaching plans are covered as per the weighted prescriptions given. All grades have received common program of assessment to ensure coverage. So that we are trying to mitigate those issues that I raised earlier. We have also provided common mid-year exams to ensure standardized assessment. Because if we let things loose, then we'll be shocked by the end of the year. And we are saying all schools affected by protests have developed plans to recover lost time and prepare the next for exam. As far as the school-based related strategies that indicated earlier, we have crafted generic and standardized framework for developing and internally moderating those processes. We have ensured that teachers are acquainted with the specific policy requirements of their subjects. Remember, Malusi raised that teachers are not acquainted, they are not au fait. And although we allow for recycled and old papers, but we say those must be used responsibly. There's so much we can discuss around that. And we have ensured that all tasks are accompanied by analysis of content, the analysis grid. If you say this is the task, show us how what has been an analysis grid for that task, the coverage, your various levels of performance, level 1 up to 7, so that there's enough spread of assessment principles in a task. So we are ensuring that. And we ensure that all CAPS requirements are used. We have, Chairperson, all recovery plans that are ongoing in the province. We've got, as I indicated, 84 centers across the province where we conduct camps. On Sunday, I was with the DG National, where we trotted around the province monitoring those camps from 5 a.m. until 6 p.m. in the afternoon. So we are having all those types of camps to ensure that we recover lost time, especially for those schools that have lost teaching and learning through protests, but also for all the underperforming schools. We have special camps. And also for girl learner intervention program. You heard earlier there was an issue that said girl learners are not doing it in terms of... So we are taking care of our girl learners. So you read the Pell study, it indicates that boys cannot read better than girls. So it's something else. So we are trying to balance all those processes. So we've got all those enrichment camps that we are spending 52 million. 865,365 on camps alone to ensure that our learners, as we have seen in the beginning, the underperformance to improve. But it doesn't mean that schools cannot, they always rely on these camps, but it's just that it's an enrichment process that we provide. We also conduct, Chairperson, accountability sessions with districts, with the principals, with head of departments, so that we can see whether they are able to understand their roles and responsibilities. So, because of time, what is very interesting here, Chairperson, is that all these efforts yield good results. We got 79.4%, but after the supplementary and remark results, we achieved 81.5%. You can see we have value for money for all the efforts that we make. But lastly, I want to share with the members that in the province, we have also what we call the inclusive packets basket of performance indicators, where we say the pass percentage is 85%. And we've indicated and it said per district, these are so many candidates. When you say 85%, it means, if you look at the slide, in Bujanala, they've got 15,024 learners. If they are to achieve our 85% pass target, they must pass 12,770 candidates. And they've got 5,029 learners that have entered for maths. Now our target in terms of the inclusive target is 27%. It means of the 5,029 learners, 1,358 must pass maths. And for physics, they've got 4,335 learners. Of those learners, the 28% in terms of our inclusive basket must pass, which is translated to 1,214 learners. And bachelors, 4,300. So we have highlighted and specified the number of learners that must pass in terms of our quality. So inclusive basket is about quality. And we've also now, we've also indicated per sub-district to see how many. So they will further take it down to schools. In this school, if there are so many learners entered for maths, so many must pass. So they contribute to the inclusive basket, and we can then surely say 85% is quantity, but the inclusive bucket is about quality. So we are balancing the two, the quality passes and the quantity passes, so that at the end we can say with confidence that our learners have done very well. And in conclusion, Chairperson, we are saying 100 years from now, it will not matter how much my bank account was, the kind of house I lived in, nor the type of car I drove. But what will remain most important is whether I made a difference in the life of a child. Thank you, Chairperson. The next presenter, because we are delegates from the province, will be NSP, Ms. Gulandele, ETSM. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, DDG. Honorable Chair.
Yes. Oh, is there on the
floor? Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, my colleagues. I'm just quickly going to summarize the National School Nutrition Program implementation in the province. The background, the objectives are the same, and safe to emphasize that in the province, we have decentralized the implementation of the program. We are transferring money to the schools in an advance, monthly, and then so that the schools do not get stuck in terms of implementing. And maybe to highlight that out of 1,454 schools in the province, comprising of 853,900 learners, we are servicing 1,334 schools through NSNT, and that translates to 737,500 learners, comprising 86% of all the learners in the province that are beneficiaries from this from the program. And the numbers are further broken down into primary schools, secondary schools, as well as special schools. Out of our 32 special schools, we are 25 of them are beneficiaries of the program. And we have as the secondary beneficiaries 4,387 food handlers who are trained and supervised in terms of preparing and serving the food. The program is wholly funded from the conditional grant. We are currently actually mandated to identify the deserving learners who have been exempted from fees in our quintile 4 and 5. So that we can also then, on the depending on budget implications, that we can also service them, because they may not, the parents may not afford. We've got examples of the menus that we are providing and monitoring. It's in the detail of the presentation. And thus far, Chair, our biggest challenge remains infrastructure. We want to admit that most of our schools do not have appropriate infrastructure. You find that a classroom or a mobile facility has been translated into your food preparation area. And as such, it does the procurement of food staff to vary from one area to another. Others they would buy weekly, others they would buy fortnightly, depending on the space, and also to make sure that food poisoning is avoided. And then besides the facilities, infrastructural facilities, we have incidents that have been identified of mismanagement of the food or deviating from the menus, the prescribed menus. But on and as and when we identify such cases, intervention is there because we've got full-time field workers that are doing the monitoring, who are the only people that are paid out of the provincial equitable share. The rest of your food handlers are paid through the 1.2 from the conditional grants. And then as a matter of future plans, we have built into our table B5 on an incremental basis the conversion of some of the facilities into becoming preparation centers or kitchens. But with the new schools, already the kitchen is and dining hall is provided for. I think in the main, Chair, that would summarize the NSNP program in the province. Thank you.
Okay. Now on LTSM.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. With regard to LTSM, I'll also be brief, starting from page 4. It's unfortunate the pages are not, the slides are not numbered, but it starts with the stance of the province with regard to procurement. We are centrally procuring LTSM for schools. We have been doing that for more than 10 years now. Basically what happens is that we've got stationary manufacturers. It's basically three companies serving the four districts. One stationary company serves or supplies two districts, others one district each. We also have appointed distributors who will then be distributing directly to schools. But then in terms of publishers, we use the national tender, meaning the approved publishers by GPE. But for both publishers and manufacturers, they all supply to provincially appointed distributors who would then take material directly to schools. And I think the rest in that slide is about the state in terms of how many distributors we have, how many publishers so far we have utilized. But then the process, the question is, what is the correct time for ordering? We agree with the rest of the provinces, as they have indicated, that we align ourselves with the sector plan. The right time is May, June. And maybe I must just indicate that we have just completed the ordering of stationery by schools now. The only part that is left is the ordering of textbooks, and that will be done as soon as they come back from school holidays. The reason why we delayed this was that we wanted to accommodate supplementary catalog for schools to be able to order, and we are doing that for the first time. So in terms of the plan, we are working closely according to the plan and the activities thereof. I think since I've indicated that we procure centrally, the stationary catalogue is developed by us, obviously aligned with the national catalogue, so that we are not high in terms of the prices, so that we get value for money from the service providers. I must also indicate, Chair, that last year we introduced a new system of ordering. It's an online system linked, or rather aligned with the SASMs. So since last year, we started using that system. That system will also be used for retrieval of textbooks this year for the first time. In terms of what could be the reasons why sometimes schools receive incorrect books, I must indicate, Chair, that in our province, we had two incidents, and one was in another district, one in another district, where the incorrect deliveries was as a result of incorrect capturing of the ISBN numbers on the system during ordering, which actually says the selection by the school was wrong, and therefore they got the wrong material. But in cases where we pick up such, we immediately address that and get the replacement of the right orders. With regard to the advantages of the centralized procurement, a lot has been said so far, and I was looking at the points that we have put there. They are quite similar to what has already been shared, except that I could also indicate that the advantage we are getting from centralized procurement is that we are also minimizing irregularities which we would experience if schools were to be left on their own. And we are also trying to curb this problem of inadequate financial management by some of our schools by keeping the procurement centrally. Now, what could be the challenges of this? In our case, the challenge normally would be when there are delays in terms of finalizing the appointment of service providers. At one stage, as a province, we had a challenge where the tender was awarded and there were disputes and so forth, and all those delayed the process of delivery. But that was a once-off incident. So far, we do not have such a problem. What happens to the unspent LTSM funds by schools? What we advise schools to do is to ensure that they actually prioritize, firstly, the stationery packs for every learner to get stationery. And then from the stationery packs, schools also have a choice to go for supplementary stationery items, which means if they have utilized all their budget on the priority, which is stationary packs, then they could go to the supplementary items and still use their funding there. And as a result, with regard to stationary, we don't have a challenge. They normally are able to spend their stationary budget. But then with textbooks, we procure textbooks on top-up basis unless a new curriculum is introduced. And as a result, some of the schools would not necessarily buy the same quantities because they would already have something on stock. So, it's a little bit strange because in terms of the expenditure pattern, we have been for the three consecutive years been spending more on textbooks when we were expecting that it's top up, we should be spending less. So eventually, Chair, there would be few schools that end up not using all their budget on textbooks, and as a province we have not been giving the unspent funds back to schools, but we have decided that using this electronic system, because we are able to pick it up as to which schools have not spent, we have taken a decision that from this year going forward we will be transferring funds back to schools if they have not spent. But like I said earlier on, that we are accommodating schools now with an additional supplementary material, so that over and above the normal top-up of textbooks, they are able to see other materials like dictionaries and so forth. So we are saying we believe they will be able to spend their budget, since they will have sufficient material to choose from. But if still they do have some funding left, we are prepared to, going forward, give them what is due to them, Chair. The role of the province and the role of the districts with regard to retrieval, currently as a province, we do not have a uniform standardized retrieval system. Our schools have been using the manual retrieval and reporting systems, but with the introduction of the ELTSM, the electronic system that I talked about earlier on, I said we are also going to use the system for the first time to retrieve books from schools. But obviously, you will agree, Chair, that a system is as good as the people who apply the system. So that basically says the enforcement of ensuring that it works should definitely happen at the level of district, so that we will be able to get quick reports out of that system. With regard to the role by district offices, Chair, the retrieval has been part of the reports of our curriculum officials visiting schools, but we admit, Chair, that this has not been done enough. Enough in the sense that if we had good retrieval systems, we could have been able to see whether what we have been spending on LTSM, is it informed by real shortages of books at schools? And the only way to get that is through the retrieval system. So we have agreed that we will work closely with our curriculum chief directorate to try and streamline these processes to ensure that we get our districts at the level of seconds to come to the party in addressing retrieval. I know for a fact, Chair, that the last time our retrieval was just below 80%, which we were worried about, and we are working on that to get a better results going forward. The other page, I think it's okay. Maybe the last page, Chair. what are our plans to address, or rather to improve, the retrieval system? I already indicated that the Chief Directorate Curriculum, as well as the directorate that I'm heading, Asset Management, we are working together now to begin to formalize some of the structures so that we get LTSM management right in our schools. We are looking forward to complete the appointment of members for the LTSM committee by end of June. That committee will quickly look at the existing policy and the 50-point plan so that we are able to later on cascade it and advocate it to all the stakeholders so that we can begin to improve the issue of retrieval. And like I said, the first test for the system to retrieve, we will do it at the end of this year, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. That has been the Northwest presentation. We are all yours. We are looking forward to the advice, comments, and recommendations.
Okay, thank you very much. We have come to the end of the presentations now. It's late into the day. Nonetheless, we are doing the job for which we voted. We are all here simply because we want to improve the quality of education of children. We do not want to go back home and lie and say, we sleep at 10, we sleep at 11, yes, we sleep at 4. Sometimes it does happen that our programs are really prolonged, and I do want to thank the honorable members for having been here from 10 up to now. Not to say that we are not used to this kind of experience,
It's only that tomorrow there's going to be voting processes that are going to be prolonged, and we need to go and prepare for the budget and for the voting tomorrow. And I want to thank you for you've been here from morning, waiting for your turn to do the presentation. I will open this opportunity to members again to make comments, to guide, to ask if they so wish, because it is our duty to do so, to do just that, in terms of oversight and responsibilities. As for the Northwest, there is a lot of good that you are doing, as I am reading, but you are in the downward slide. You can find it down. Okay, what is the truth? That's a concern. And it's a great concern for us. The administrative problems that you cited at the beginning of your presidency, I think we will get sufficient time to actually visit the province and engage you on that, and together come up with proposals as to what is it that we need to do as a government to ensure that we lift the province out of the Section 101 that has been imposed by the president, that is going to be facilitated by the SOP. We don't want you to be there, but circumstances force us to actually drop, as I say, half of the members are attending the Northwest meeting. That is the extent to which it stops the programs of Parliament. Now, we shall have to devise time in terms of our programs to go there and try to see what best can be done to actually turn the situation around for better. You are not a bad performer if one reads here, but there are big administrative issues that need the attention of the entire SOP, so that we deal with those and come out confident that by the time you are lifted up out of the section, then things will be correct. Honourable members, then I hand over to you to make comments on in whatever areas you wish to whatever provinces. I know you might have forgotten where we started after that, but say something.
And after the lunch, in Mokono was Yesha, but he was the provinces about presenter up. Masamkele as the presentations and so on. Because Uba Ujongi, les passes bear, they are fun, more special challenges. With school nutrition and learner teacher support material, Chairperson. In Western Cape Town, good presentation yabo, and uzawulo song but bane district as the eight. But how analyze the results zabo, awukwazi ukuthi kuphi apho benze kakuhle, kuphi apho bangenzanga kakuhle. Umzekelo, Eastern Cape, ine-township sezininzi. But xa bebesenza i-presentation, zezinye ze-areas apho ezithe zabethwa kakhulu le nto ye-protest, and nathi siyayibona. Because abaprotestela amanzi okanye ukwenziwa kwendlela, abantwana baye ezikolweni ngenxa into yokokuba kuvalwe indlela. So ifuneke ngoku into yokobuzikise. Bendizawuthi sitshele kuzawubaluleka into yoba i-Western Cape le khe siyivizithele so that sihlale nabo phantsi ekhona u-MEC so that sizawuandastenda nakakuhle. Kuzawufuneka xa sibuya kwi-resesi sikhawuleze sijonge into yoba program yethu ithini. Wenze into yoba kaloku funeka siphinde sikhumbule into yoba thina sizii-politicians singaba bantu baphakanyiselwa izandla njenge-MECs kube khona i-officials on the ground ezenza umsebenzi ezi-implementa the policies. So kuzawubaluleka ke into okokuba khe sihlale phantsi ne-Western Cape kwenzela uba sizo-understandan khe siye nakweza areas. I-presentation yabo intle kakhulu sihlalo, but umnqweno wam ngulo wokokuba khe siye sizofumana ncakasana okona kwenzekayo phaa kweza ndawo zikwi-township. Because xa bekusenza i-presentation awufumani kakuhle into okokuba basilela ke kanye kanye. Uyawundixolela ke ongasivayo isiXhosa, kodwa kukhona usisi pha othola umnqwazi ofana nalo wam. I think nokunayo i-understanding yale language yam. Phaa e-Eastern Cape usithetha isiXhosa and ke mna ndinebhongo nge-language yam. So nawundixolela, kodwa ke I think uChairperson uzawukwazi okokuba andincedise, andifuni ukuyibalekela loo nto. Then i-North West, you know, as bebepresenta apha kuyabonakala uba ngabantu abawuthandayo umsebenzi, but i-North West inee-challenges ezininzi. Ukuba ngaba bengekho le nto yokuba kuxashane the two meetings, mhlawumbi besizawuvuna lukhulu nakule nto ye-intervention by the National Department. Besizawuvuna lukhulu into kokuba emveni kokuba ke ngoku kwenziwe laa intervention kuza kwenzeka ntoni, siyifumane. Because ngoku sithetha ingathi sikwi-normal nto kanti ayasiphilanga, ayasiphilanga phaa e-North West. Funa siyivumone, impilo ayikho kakuhle. So izawufuna ke kwakhona njengoba usitsho sihlale into yoba sibe siphinde sikhawuleze sibalandelele wenze uba sihlale sive kakuhle into kokuba yintoni le kanye yenza into kokuba kube khona ezi challenges. Sometimes i-officials ngabantu aboyikayo wena abangakwazi xa ingekho i-political head ye-department ukuthetha. Ayike mna ndithetha nje nondixolele. Ngamanye amaxesha sikwazi ukuthetha sibe open when the political head of the department is not part of the meeting. So kube bhetele xa iqale wenza la political overview so that sikwazi ukungena. Le nto ndithi ke sihlalo kuzobaluleka into kokuba sibe siphinde khe sibasondelelele ukubancedisa. Ebunyanisweni ndimane ndiyebhuka apha xa bekupresenta iMpumalanga. Ndiyakhomenda nje sihlalo, andinazi question kangako, kodwa eyona nto endiyithandayo yinto yokokuba ii-officials esinazo apha today ngabantu abanayo laa passion yokokuba umsebenzi lo bawulungele. But awukwazi ke ngoku, mna ke andikwazi ukuthetha kakhulu xa kungekho the head of the political head of the department uthetha kakhulu nani, because mna ndiwunyuliwe mos. Sometimes kufuneka ndiye phaa ku-MEC ibe ngu-MEC endizawujongana naye. I think siya-understandana sihlala, kodwa xa ujonge i-challenges sithi cut across to all provinces. So ngaloo mazwi sihlala mandibulele into yokokuba babe nathi, khange ukuthi mandibulele kodwa mandibulele nje just into ethi bakwazi ukusinyamezela. Otherwise kukhona apho siyakhona, there is a light pa kwela kula mqobo. Enkosi sihla.
No, thanks, Chairperson. We were just talking to one another here with each other, with Honorable Samka, to say all the challenges seem like they are the same. It's like they were sitting in one room, sharing the challenges and wrote this report. But I want to encourage Impumalanga, but I'm worried about their on page 28, I just looked at page 28, on their grade 3, term one analysis, grade 6, 2018, and grade 9 and grade 12. I'm worried because you can't say in 2015, for example, you were at 68.9 on English first additional language, 70.9, the years follow one another, 72.3. 71.8, then your target is 80%. You may look at those. Okay, it's in the valley, it's obvious. In mathematics, one would you hope? Siswati, Nazo, the first language is Shizonga. They are the same. But I'm worried because it's like you're not encouraged in other subjects. You look at your mathematics from grade 3. You look at them, you go to grade 6. It's like you're not in current mathematics. The target is a little bit lower. Can you see that? So I just want you to get encouraged, because when you aim, you must aim high. The chairperson has said when we're engaging with the first three provinces to say, let's aim to the skies so that when we fall, we must fall on the trees. But when we aim to the trees, when we fall to the ground. That is what I just wanted to share with Mpumalanga. Nonetheless, all the challenges are the same. On Northwest, I don't have much to say, Chairperson, because the department is under administration. And we are busy engaging the issues there. But it is also important for us maybe to go to Northwest also, but I don't know when, maybe after everything has been done, to sit down with them and understand, because we don't shift responsibilities, we don't rubber stamp as the NCOP. Even if the ad hoc committee is doing its part, we must play our part as a select committee. We must have our own understanding, because those in that meeting, they're establishing something, what made the department to be in this circumstance. Till now we are engaging the Department of Education. We must understand what are the problems. I think in the future we'll have that time, Chairperson, but nonetheless we do appreciate the time that you took. Mm-hmm. And then to come and take us through, make us understand, but there are challenges. But the challenges, I think, according to me, make one to be strong. In this full ways, Chairperson, let me thank them.
Thank you, Honorable Hudson.
Okay.
I thought you'd actually speak on behalf of Northwest, but you don't want to do. No, thank you, Honorable Members, for the input and the words of wisdom and encouragement that you're putting across to all the provinces. We welcome all the presentations that you've made. I want you to believe. Or maybe before I conclude, GBE, do you want to say anything?
Hello. Honorable Chair, I think on behalf of the Department of Basic Education, we want to welcome this particular initiative at this meeting. And for us, the engagement has been extremely fruitful. We appreciate the inputs, the comments, the questions that have been raised. And I think, Honorable Chair, you'll agree with me that we cannot falter the provincial education departments in terms of initiatives, in terms of effort and energy that is being put into improving learner performance. But unfortunately, there are certain embedded challenges which our provincial departments have identified and they are dealing very decisively with. But given the fact that these are major challenges, they cannot be resolved in a year, but it would take time. And I think what we are observing, Honorable Chair, is that the system is on a rise. The trajectory is moving in the right direction. It's simply, and I think this is the point that I've heard coming from all our members, is that we must continue with the effort that we are putting into improvement, but more importantly, that the improvement should not just focus on grade 12, but it should be across the whole system. And I think it's a pity that provincial departments were not allowed to also indicate what they're doing across the system, because I think that has become the thrust of the minister, that we need to start lower down if we want to see a performance improvement higher up. But also, Honourable Chair, I think you would agree with me that provinces are at different levels of performance. They are the Gautengs and the Western Cape that are at a particular level, while we have our more rural provinces who are dealing with their own challenges. And I think sometimes in a meeting like this, it would appear as if they are underachieving. But within the context of their challenges, I think one needs to measure their performance within the particular issues that they are dealing with. But by and large, Honorable Chair and members, thank you very much, and particularly for the time that you've taken, I mean, from 10 o'clock up to 5 o'clock, and you've given each province the attention they require, and we've taken notes in terms of what we need to attend to as a Department of Basic Education, and we'll take all of these comments and questions in our own meetings and fora that take place in Pretoria and in our monitoring engagement with the provinces. So we appreciate this, and we hope that this will continue to happen. All it's doing, it's just improving and giving us new perspectives in terms of what we need to do and how we need to do. So thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Paulia, for the comments and the contributions that you've made, and your colleagues on behalf of DBE. Your comments are actually encouraging. The mere fact that you've actually taken note of the issues that were raised, and at an appropriate forum as DPE, you are going to be looking into them and devise strategies as to how we are going to go about supporting the provinces. I know that there are areas, for instance, in school nutrition, where there are your officials from DPE that actually monitor what is happening around the districts. I know that from time to time the minister has got engagements with the districts directly, which says to us as a monitoring or an oversight mechanism of Parliament, there is a lot of effort that DPE is putting in ensuring that you support the system from the ground upwards, and that is highly appreciated. You will convey our appreciation also to the Minister and the Deputy Minister to say that we had a very fruitful engagement with the provinces. We are better off than when you came in. Believe you me. All this material that you have prepared and you have presented is not material that has been generated in vain. We are going to be using this for our engagement, even for our debates. We are not going to phone Western Cape. What's happening with regard to nutrition? What's happening with regard to metric? You know, we're just going to page through and get the information that we're looking for without having to send our researchers to go and get the information. From time to time, we can send them to for validation and verification. But in the main, the information that you have given us is quite bulky. But believe you me, it is going to assist us a great deal. I just want to comment shortly on the inputs. The input by Western Cape. Western Cape are one of the privileged provinces in terms of our own assessment, or comparatively speaking. But you've got large township areas, or Khayelitsha, or Olanga, all those areas that need farm areas. That needs our attention as a government. We are, as Honorable Samka was saying, going to be conducting oversight in the Western Cape. We've been to a number of provinces, but we have not been to the Western Cape with a view to conducting a week-long oversight to get a feel of how the situation. I know that there are challenges.
it is a province that has got highly affluent areas, but it has also farm areas and townships. And the standard of living and the needs in all these areas are different. So we need to ensure that we actually address the needs of everybody equally. And also involve parents in all these areas in the education of our children. A system that is going to be strong enough is a system where parents are directly involved in the matters of education of our children. A teacher and a learner all on their own there without the involvement of the parent, whether it's through a meeting or monitoring homework or any other thing, it's not going to assist. We need the parental involvement in the education and deploy the resources according to the needs of our different areas without disadvantaging any of the areas for which you are responsible. I'm worried about your slide downward spiral. You're not supposed to go there. Not anywhere near. Free State is actually never one. That is not supposed to be the case. I've been to the Free State with this honorable member. That is a rural province. It's just like Northern State. Deeply, deeply rural. Like Northwest. But those that are affluent really must be in the region of 99% common achievement because they've got the resources. Yes, the townships or the farms might drag you down slightly, but you need to improve. There is a scope of improvement. Whether you use central procurement system, which we do recommend, but the procurement of the LTSM, it should serve the purpose for which it is meant. As I said earlier on, you go to a province on other side, the calculator that was delivered is not the calculator that is in the specification. It is said scientific calculator. When you look at the pair, it is this one that is meant to calculate change for Amaguya or Mamama Taisai. It's not scientific by any means, but in the specification it is like that. The delivery is not addressing this. Those are the issues that you say there has to be close monitoring, as the members have actually said. Mpumalanga, you are coming up with wonderful presentations and innovation. There is a program that you spoke to. I've missed it. It was the first time that I heard of it. There is a program that you spoke to involving a variety of stakeholders or something like that. I said earlier on that we can't stand all on our own. Business has to be part of education. In areas where we are running short, they have to come to the party. The violent protests where people are burning schools, that's the one, where you said you are not going to fix those schools. I am in support of you 100%. Let the parents fix the schools. Let the traditional authorities be part and parcel of fixing the problem. It should not be the problem of the provincial education only. People are complaining about water and roads and electricity, and they ban the schools. It's not all. This is the kind of situation that you are not going to allow us to say, let's just use the money for NTSFM, capacitate the teachers. Those people, because those people who ban the schools are not children. Children are at home. It is adults. If they want education to reverse and yet their children get education under the tree, it's their choice. It is their choice. Sometimes as a department, we really have to take hard decisions and to say here and no more. Because if you are too lenient, people are going to go on and on doing wrong things, and then they know that the department is going to cover us up. No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, it's progression policy in all the provinces.
is working pretty well. We are improving, we are coming to the rescue of those learners who otherwise would be involved in drugs and substance abuse. It is good that the department came with this wisdom of ensuring that we come to their rescue. The issue of that you are raising in Northwest of teachers that cannot be able to cope with conflict. There has to be more and more training content. Because when a teacher goes to class and they don't have content, what are they going to class to do? What do they draw a salary for in the class when learners are not taught properly in the classroom? We are progressing and we are becoming digital, isn't it? We are using modern technology. We are going to digitize that part of the content. And if teachers cannot cope now, how are they going to cope at that level? These are the issues that we need to take very, very seriously and use those teachers and that we have developed to ensure that we capacitate the teachers and also along the lines of the use of modern technology, of studying further, improving their academic qualifications, of delving deeper into the knowledge and the content of their subject matter. Those problems we are going to attend to thoroughly when we visit your province. You are also talking about inclusive budget of indicators to improve the quality. You know where you want to go to, but there are just indicators along the way that you need to sort out. You said you are giving, or you are going to start giving money that has not been spent back to the schools, but you have not been doing it. It has been a gripe that has been raised in a number of provinces that we visited. So say, what you did not spend, please bring back to us. I know Ethan Cape said they robbed Twitter to pay Paul. Schools are not wanting that. They want that which is due to them to be sent back to them for them to be able to use and address their own issues. The disengagement with the union. That's a serious issue. 3 months of not getting to it. It has not fit into that. And lastly, I'm not going to prolong my comments, but to say that I'm happy, DBE, Dr. Paulia, you are raising the issue that the minister and the department is focusing on lower grades. Once we put that in place, we are sure that in no time the system is going to turn around. At the end, we are going to command quality at the level of output of matric. Because the reason why we are struggling so much, we've got to go for winter schools. We've got to go for weekend schools. We've got to go and try to devise means and ways to catch up. Is that justice is not done in the lower grades? At the level of grade 10, learners should be knowing what to do in order to achieve a pass. And the teacher will guide just here and there in terms of content. But they've developed, you know, the love and the passion. They know where they want to get to. They've been exposed to career. They've made their choices already. And these are all the issues that you can the best address, not at the level of grade 12, but in the lower grades as they are shaping their lives and beginning to make the choices. I would implore, and we are in full support of this initiative. The 3-stream model, we are in support of that, because the issue of skills, this country needs the skills more than anything at this point in time. We need to develop artisans from young ages, not to wait until they go to the TVET. By the time they go to the TVET, they should have developed the basics insofar as the skills are concerned. And the issue that was raised by FEC of Gauteng of intake at higher education level, I concur with him and I agree with him that whilst we increase access at the level of basic education, we should also increase access at the level of higher education. It's an issue that we have deliberated on with higher education.
more universities are being built, more TVET colleges are being built, but that should balance up with the budget that is allocated to that level. Because it requires, once you have put a university up or a TVET college, then there has to be a budget to ensure that it is running smoothly and it is going to yield desired results. So we need to strike a balance, but we certainly need to increase access and also using the benefit of NSFAS. It would concern us gravely if at the end of the financial year we find that NSFAS that was meant to use to increase access, well, of course, in relation to the spaces available at universities, because that's a determining factor. In relation to accommodation that is available, we find that it has not been used because of reasons A, B, C, and D. But the main issue here is we need to build more university, but we need to also look into increasing the number of universities like UNISA, where you don't have to go to the institution to study. You can actually study online and you submit online and write your examinations and so on and so on. That is the approach, which is why this issue of the fourth industrial revolution is of critical importance. We need to be techno-savvy or else we'll be relegated to the periphery and we'll be rendered irrelevant by in modern times. So with those few words, I want to say thank you very much. You've been very helpful to us. With the few words of guidance and wisdom that we've made, you'd accept the fact that we are not specialists in education. As I said, we are responsible for 9 departments. 9. Basic education, higher education, arts and culture, sports and recreation, home affairs, Kikumbuzeni, social development, water and sanitation, women's segment. We sometimes forget the number of departments for which you are responsible. That is just meant to say, while you are not specializing like the portfolio committee, but you've got a keen interest and you want to know more and more and be aware of the operations of the Department of Basic Education, because we are also responsible for oversight purposes. We want to say thank you and good night. Thank you.